6 hours to midnight. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. More than a million civilians in the northern part of the Gaza Strip have been warned by the Israeli military to evacuate to the south by then as airstrikes continue and a ground operation could come next, maybe this weekend, aimed at taking out Hamas terrorists who've killed more than 1,300 people in Israel this week. The United Nations calls the evacuation order impossible without devastating humanitarian consequences.
The United Nations strongly appeals for any such order to be rescinded, avoiding what could transform what is already a tragedy into a calamitous situation.
UN Deputy Spokesman Rolando Gomez there. More than 1,500 deaths are reported in the Israeli strikes in Gaza, many of them children, and there are protests across the Middle East. That protest in Sana'a, Yemen. A teacher is stabbed to death. Another and a security guard are wounded at a high school in northern France. A suspect's in custody.
Police say the man with a knife shouted Allahu Akbar before his arrest. The attack being investigated as potential terrorism. We're told the alleged attacker is also a former student at the school, with the French government asking for heightened vigilance at all schools amid heightened tension around the world over Hamas's weekend terror attack on Israel. France this week also banned pro-Palestinian demonstrations amid a rise of anti-Semitic acts during the Hamas attacks.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. A new Fox poll finds nearly four times as many Americans side with the Israelis over the Palestinians in this conflict. 72%, though, say they're unhappy with the direction of this country.
That's up, by the way, nearly 20% from April 2021. But it's not just the administration that people are not satisfied with. 60% disapprove of the job congressional Democrats are doing. 66% disapprove of congressional Republicans.
Ashley Webster with Fox Business. House Republicans are meeting this morning to choose a new candidate for House Speaker. Steve Scalise dropped out. America's listening to Fox News.
Why are the world's central banks quietly yet aggressively amassing mountains of gold? Because they know a storm is brewing, the type we might witness only once in our lifetimes. They understand that America's vastly inflated currency doesn't have much life left. And when it finally dies, gold will be a bedrock of stability just as it has for thousands of years. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon, and I urge you to do as central banks are doing. How? By diversifying your IRA or 401k into physical gold with Birch Gold Group. This will protect your savings from inflation, political instability, and economic crashes. To see how it works, get a free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust, so text PROTECT to the number 989898. That's PROTECT to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold. There's no obligation or purchase.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. If anyone would know how difficult it is to get votes to be a House Speaker, it would be Kevin McCarthy. The California lawmaker says House Majority Leader and GOP nominee Steve Scalise has a big hill to secure that needed 217 votes. It took 5 days and 15 rounds of voting before McCarthy collected enough votes in January. City of Yuma voters will be asked to consider three amendments to the Yuma City Charter on November 7th. In a first for the city, this election will take place entirely using ballots received through the mail. The increase in price of goods and services is higher than what most analysts expected. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index is up 0.4% in the past month and 3.7% higher than the last time this year. A little over 302 emergency calls have been answered by Yuma Fire in the last week. Yuma Fire reminds the community about vehicle safety tips, including if a fire is expected, safety pull over, turn off the vehicle, and let everyone out. If you have ideas for a local news story, you could always send us an email. The email is newsroom@yumadailynews.com. Go ahead, send us your story, and I'll take a look. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire
Good
needs.
Good-looking start to the weekend. We've got the sunshine, the temperatures where they're supposed to be today and tomorrow. Starting Sunday, though, high pressure increases, and that means some warmer weather, noticeably warmer temperatures. 89 the high today, a little bit warmer tomorrow, 92, 98 the high Sunday, and near 100 Monday and Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk AM 560 KBLU, Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, Russ Clark in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we were talking a lot, you know, off air, and you know, it reminds me that the weather's cooling off, the seasons are changing, and what happens in just about 72 days?
Christmas.
Okay.
All right. You made me think for a minute.
I'm glad you're good with math. And see, Lexi's even down there barking, trying to count out the number of days till Christmas. But, you know, in my seat on the bus, I get to see certain things. In your seat on the bus, you get to see certain things.
Too much.
And you get to see whether, you know, both radio and automotive, you know, whether people take care of their marketing, whether they take care of their car. My seat on the bus, and we've talked about the credit card balances now in the United States, $1.03 trillion, right?
Oh, it's up that high now. I knew it was over a trillion.
It was over a trillion, and then they reported that this last month it went to $1.03 trillion in credit card balances in the United States. And it gives me pause, and I would like to kind of talk to a lot of our customers and other people to say, wait a minute, the holiday season, please don't go break the bank for your Christmas shopping.
Unless you're buying it for me.
Well, you know, if you want to give Russ Clark something really expensive, he will take it and he will smile and shake your hand and hug you and say,
borrow
thank
the
you.
Money.
you know, run it right to the max, maybe even over limit. Yeah. But truthfully, you know, when you get a gift, Russ, does it need to be the most expensive or does it need to be a thought out and a meaningful gift?
I really don't get a lot of gifts. I don't ask. I don't. It doesn't.
But
I
if mean, you got one, I just, and I know you haven't gotten one in like the last 21 years, but if you got one.
But look, you're right. I mean, it. I don't.
It doesn't
don't
have
need,
to be the best thing
and,
ever.
I mean, a bar of gold would be nice, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I would like to plant this seed or phraseology as best in class. It doesn't need to be the best ever. It just needs to be the best in class. So, you know, if you were a pen guy, do I need to go buy you a $1,000 Mont Blanc pen?
No, I like these little G2s, Pilots.
Well, okay. But you, as soon as that runs out of ink, you throw that plastic pen away, right?
I do.
You don't even recycle. You just throw it right in the trash. But if I bought you a nice cross pen, a good pen that was metal and you could refill it and you would appreciate it, that is just as good as that $1,000 Mont Blanc, right?
Of course.
Okay. If you're a watch guy, do I need to go try to ratchet up my credit cards and get you a Rolex for $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000?
I appreciate the work of them, you know, the artwork or whatever it is, because it's not just about time.
So you don't have to go all the way, but you want to find best in class. So it may not be a top tier pen or watch, but it could be something that's a nice pen or watch. Or, you know, you see a lot of people who, okay, maybe it's a camera. If you're a photographer, you know, do I have to go out and spend $10,000 and get you the absolute top of the line? Or do I go find a good entry level DSLR camera that is best in that class and you appreciate it?
Well, yeah, I got my eye on a $5,000 Nikon.
Do you?
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
And are you lobbying lots of friends and you want them to buy that for you?
I don't have a single friend that I know about that would buy that for me, so no.
Exactly.
No. That's something I save
truthfully,
for myself.
That's where we need to get to is, hey, guys and gals and everybody who's listening, coach up your nieces and nephews. We don't need to go into debt, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm not kidding when I tell you, I see some people that ratchet up their credit cards $3,000 to $5,000 just for the holidays.
Correct.
And that's
20% interest. Plus.
And they don't realize exactly that it's going to cost them thousands of dollars over the next couple of years just to pay that off. But by the time they make a dent in it, not off, not paid down, make a dent in it, now you're rolling around to the next Christmas. And so especially given we talk about economic issues and inflation issues, and we talk about credit card balances, and we talk about gas prices going up. Maybe this year, let's do things that are more meaningful and more relationship-driven. So, you know, if, again, you wear, almost every time I'm in here, you wear a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You seem to like baseball caps.
Because I have no hair.
Well, you know, so the cap keeps your head warm.
Yes.
But truthfully, if you got a really nice hat, would that be a good gift for you?
I have some fairly nice hats.
But if somebody gave you a great hat and a nice card, and
yeah, be nice.
You would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because that's speaking to you, and it doesn't need to be.
It's less than a Rolex.
There you go. And and you don't wear watches.
I do. Generally, it's an electronic Samsung. I just don't have it on tonight.
Okay. Why not?
I forgot it.
Okay.
But it interacts with my phone. And see, that means more to me than a piece of jewelry, mm-hmm. like a Rolex, which I appreciate them, but I don't need one.
Do your grandkids, your grandkids need the most expensive gifts you can buy them?
They don't know the difference.
No. So you are comfortable, and most parents, when their kids are really, really small, are good at giving, you know, inexpensive gifts that the kids love playing with, right?
Well, yes. But my grandkids are, you know, there's enough family members that inundate them with so much that I'd literally buy them nothing for Christmas. I don't.
Wow, you are screwed.
I buy nothing for them. I mean, they're so inundated. It's so much. They can't even put it all away. But, you know, throughout the year.
But all joking aside, your grandson, Grayskull, will never know whether it's the most expensive toy out there.
No.
He's just going to play with it, and he's just going to enjoy it. And it was meaningful that he got to open something.
I bought Grayskull a 13-foot-high dragon the other day that he still... Every moment that he can, he runs out to look at that dragon. It's in the front yard.
And does he run outside and yell, "Grandpa," and he thinks you're the 13th dragon?
I don't
know
that he knows that I'm even involved in it. I don't even know. I mean, he's not aware that I gave it to him. But it brought him the most joy ever. And, yeah, it was $190. But I don't hesitate. The whole family loves the boy's smile.
Mm-hmm.
They take him out there every moment.
That's funny.
You know, and it's been a great gift. But it didn't have to cost a Rolex.
Nope. And that's where, you know, between now and Christmas, you're going to see tons of sales come on. You're going to see all kinds of advertising. You know, you're going to think about, how do I get the perfect gift? Sometimes the perfect gift is literally just a, "Hey, Russ, I hope you and your family have an amazing Christmas.
Sure.
Appreciate all you've done. And here's a meaningful gift, not an expensive gift." Or it could be the card.
Yep.
What I hope we don't do is exacerbate the problem and say, you know, the $1.03 trillion could be $1.05.
Some people's 1.06. Personalities, though, are asset connected. They've got to have a car in the driveway that the neighbors point to as well, that proves he's successful. Or even a house that proves he's successful, or an asset that proves he's successful. And we've all been caught in that trap, mm-hmm. every one of us, you know.
Well, I mean, culturally, keeping up with the Joneses, and you're right. But you never know whether somebody is successful or not based on that visual perception.
Because is it borrowed money or is it pay cash for
well,
it?
Well, we had a couple of meetings on the East Coast, and a gentleman that I was talking to, I said, "Hey, name the most successful person you know." Mm. And he mentioned a person who has tons of billboards all over the city that he lives in.
Oh, that was
And he goes, "Yeah, that guy's the most successful guy in this practice." And I said, "Now, let me ask a question. You're defining success because you see these big pictures. Do you know whether he's one paycheck away from bankruptcy? Do you know whether he can afford all of those billboards? Do you know whether, you know, he's making any money?" You're gauging
it's image.
How do you determine that success? So, you know, he is very into that visual, "Hey, I have to be successful visually."
Wow.
He would be one of those guys that I have to say, "Hey, Sean, stop. Please don't spend quite as much money on Christmas because I know what you're already up against credit card wise. And I don't think he will get it until we bash it over his head. And it just, it gives me that pause to think, how many people could risk their financial, I guess, well-being.
To make an impression, to build an impression.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes it really is just, hey, let's spend time with friends and family. Let's do meaningful things together. And, you know, some of the best times are just doing silly stuff, sitting around.
Well, you know how many times I've talked to people about cars, because, you know, before they buy a car, they're going to talk to me about them. And I tell them what to stay away from, you mm-hmm. know, the two-door race sporty car. And a lot of times, you know, they're going to be abused when people drive them and stuff mm-hmm. and do like that, the used ones and everything, and get something practical, better gas mileage and all that stuff. Stop trying to impress women because they don't really care that much. But they always get them anyway. John, I can't tell you how many times I've given, you know, people come in and ask me for advice. Mm-hmm. And then they bring me the car they just brought because it's not working right. And I said, wait a minute, this is a two-door hot rod that someone's just beat the crap out of. Mm-hmm. It's going to take about $5,000 to put it back into roadworthiness.
Yep.
And they don't, I mean, they just get caught up with the emotion that I got to have this because all the girls are going to love me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They still are single.
Weird, because they can't afford to go anywhere.
Well, they can't afford to go out. They're paying for all the repairs on that stupid car.
But that, and you're 100% right. Here's the, sometimes we just need to stop with more of that expense and get back to meaningful things. Now, look, that person who bought the car, they did it for themselves and they think, I need this car. Okay, you're going to have a car either way. Great. But please don't go even beyond that and go spend way more money than is needed on gifts. And I know it sounds like, hey, geez, you know, if everybody did that, you could really harm the economy and you could tank all of the, you know, supply chain. You if everybody stopped shopping, we could have huge issues. But just keep it under control and just make sure that, you know, sometimes taking people out for a meal and having an hour-long conversation is just as meaningful as, Russ, if I was going to do something for you, would you rather me take you out to a nice meal and you and I just have a friendly conversation for an hour, or would you like me to go get you a ball cap and a Christmas card?
We can go out and have a talk. I don't care.
You know, but
I got a ball cap.
But see, there's the thing is you think, you know, what would it be like, Russ, and I'm going to ask you for Christmas, if you could have one more adult conversation with your dad?
Yeah, it would be nice.
Or one more adult conversation with your mom.
But you can't give me that.
I can't. Yeah. And I'm not saying I could. I'm saying it's not the last gift. It was the last conversation you would remember.
Sure.
It's not the last Christmas gift I remember with my mom. It's the last conversation when she was lucid, you know, sitting and having a conversation. You think, wow, you know, that's really what I remember. It's not, hey, I got to go spend way more money on my kids. Now, they'll probably be pissed off and depressed if I don't spend a lot of money, but too bad. Sorry, kids, you're not getting much this year.
Well, I know a lot of kids that are not unhappy when they don't get everything, but that has to do with good parenting mm-hmm. year-round and an understanding and a connection, because that's infinitely more important.
So if I told you that it is not uncommon that I look at somebody's credit report, so here's an example of one that I looked at this weekend. Husband and wife, between the two of them, make about $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Good income, right? So if you had $80,000 a year worth of income, what do you think you should carry in credit card debt? And if you exceeded that, it would be like fearful.
For me, zero.
Okay. So you say zero. Most people, you know, average American consumer is carrying about $7,500, $8,000 at any one time worth of credit card debt. They've got about $25,000 worth of credit card debt. Now, doesn't that immediately make you go, oh my gosh, how do I get out of this?
Well, and getting out of it is tough.
Yeah, because it's going to take a long time because most people think, oh, I just need to make the minimum payment, and the minimum payment's going to take you dang near 30 years.
Yeah, and you're paying back $25,000 in interest by the time you pay it off, you mm-hmm. know, or more.
But they don't see that as the problem yet. They see buying a home is too expensive.
Exactly. Because, and they just live month to month.
Because they have spent the money on the credit cards and other things, and now getting out of an apartment and getting into a home is too expensive. It's like, wait a minute, where did we set that priority?
And if somebody came in and paid their credit cards off, mm-hmm. they would look at that and say, I got fresh credit cards. We can buy something.
I could go charge it up again. So you know what? You're going to charge up our advertising bill. You're going to run some commercials. So this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899.
where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk AM 560 KBLU on a gorgeous Friday morning, and I do mean gorgeous. So don't you love Friday the 13th? You know it was Friday the 13th, right?
I don't.
Come on, Friday the 13th. What could be wrong? So gorgeous, 66 degrees out there, only supposed to be like 88. I'm a little depressed that next week we're going to hit back into the 100, but, you know, gorgeous, and let's do some fun things, and let's get out there and just enjoy what's going on. What happens on Veterans Day weekend?
I don't know.
Come on.
No, I don't know.
It's the Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival.
Oh, I wouldn't have.
Yes, you. I know. Well, you're wearing your Midnight at the Oasis shirt, so okay. I thought you were thinking community things. You know, this is the time of year we get to go out and enjoy the weather and go do things. And kind of going back to what we were talking about, credit cards and spending and Christmas and things like that, you know, get outside, go to the park, go enjoy the weather, let the kids play on the playground and go do outdoor activities that probably don't cost a whole lot of money.
Those are the best.
You know, and I'm sure you love sitting outside watching your grandson go play at the park, right?
I love it immensely. Yeah, okay. It's great.
And so Grandpa loves sitting on a bench, not having to do much, watching him run off all of his energy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's he going to remember later in life?
Oh, he'll remember the times that we're together.
And going back to the shopping spree, you know, I don't remember many, if any, of the gifts that my grandmother gave me. But I do remember her taking me to the park in Scottsdale and sitting feeding the ducks and going and feeding the ducks all the time at that specific park. So why do I remember that, but I don't remember whether she gave me a plastic model or a BB gun or a jacket or
whatever.
Obviously,
that's what's most important to you.
So, you know, if there's one thing that we want to hammer home is it's literally let's look at giving people things that are memorable and best in class. It doesn't have to be the most expensive that you can afford. You know, maybe somebody needs a phone case and you want to get your kid a really nice phone case that means something to them. Maybe they're a hot rod sports car fanatic and you get them a phone case about a sports car. Maybe they're, you know, whatever it is. I don't, you know, maybe they're a college student and you get them a bunch of their university, you know, clothing and things just so you acknowledge what they're doing.
Yes. And I think The memorable gifts are not what you think they are. I mean, yeah, they all. I mean, my granddaughter wants, you know, a Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the divorce Barbie because it comes with Ken stuff. But
does it?
Yeah. Mm. But that's not the thing she's going to remember.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be the one that takes her attention.
Right.
You know, I got her I bought it for her. No, I didn't buy it for her. Edward bought it for her, was, you know, told me to buy her one. And I suggested, because he only likes the gifts that are educational and stuff.
Okay.
It was a microscope thing.
There you go.
Where she could look at different, you know, prepared slides, you know, was age appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot more to her than...
Because she can go do something.
...than divorced Barbie.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you need to get her, then you got to get her a chemistry set and let her mix chemicals and things like that.
Only if it has enough to make gunpowder
and
blow stuff
up. No, they don't sell those to kids.
Sure they do.
you know,
that's what I had as a kid. We made gunpowder.
Mm-hmm. I remember those with the little white bottles with the red top on them, and you had to say they were safety capped. But yeah, those chemistry sets were fun, and we used to experience and experiment with things and do stuff.
See, and I remember mine. I do. I remember, mm-hmm. you know, getting in trouble with that.
Yeah, and that's how you lost your hair. It's not old age. You just blew it all off.
I lost it. Yeah.
So if you could talk to your daughter, how do you, Russ Clark, tell your daughter not to get into as much credit card debt? Do you have that conversation with her?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay. Does she listen?
Now.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's the other reason you pulled out all your hair.
Well, no, but it's probably it was another conversation.
But what do you say to her? You know, let's pretend you're randomly going to talk to your daughter and this is a family discussion.
Yeah.
How do you help your family see that spending that extra $1,000, $2,000 on credit cards, you know, if you have the cash and if you've budgeted and if you've saved all year long, that's a different story. You know what? If you could budget $250 a month and you saved $3,000 over the year and you wanted to spend that $3,000 on Christmas, great, because you actually paid yourself first.
Yeah.
But putting that same $3,000 on credit, how would you explain to her that y'all don't need nothing and don't go into debt just for...
Well, you can't put a phrase like that. You don't. I mean, for me, explaining things to people is always in a positive. They say, hey, look, I really want this stereo system. I said, that's great. Let's save for it. You know, how much do you think you can put away every month to get that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the money really hits when they say, well, gosh, if I put $300 a month, that's a lot. And I said, of course. But you have to pay it now or later. You're better off paying it up front. And that gives you options always to take care of things afterwards versus being pinned down to a payment,
mm-hmm.
and paying interest. And we have conversations like that about sacrifice. In fact, we're going through a sacrifice right now. Well, she's changing her life, getting remarried and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, congratulations.
So before they do so, they want to be financially sound and secure.
Makes sense.
And so now they're living in smaller homes. They're not eating out. They're saving. They're paying off everything they owe. And there was some debt acquired that I'm watching very closely and working with them on, to make sure that they pay it all off before they make any moves to better their living situations and everything. And it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to see the smiles and the joy as they have found ways to do bunk beds and to do, handmade wood projects to the house to accommodate everything and to, you know, basically, you know, putting two families in one small home.
Now, isn't it interesting, though, you said something without saying it. Most people don't make a change unless there's something greater beyond the change that they want to accomplish. And so emotionally and psychologically, they need X, whatever X is, to happen before they can do Y. And so they gave themselves that, hey, we have to have all this paid off before we can do this.
I kind of gave it to them, too, as far
you
as...
You gave them the debt?
No. I gave them the solutions and said, and by the way, there's not any options. This is what we're going to do.
This is it, or else, or I'm taking my 13-foot dragon back?
Yeah, we'll take the 13-foot dragon back if you don't get that done. And no, it was something, you know, that they... they desired as you know, and made the decisions. Mm-hmm. I can't make anybody do anything. They're adults, but they made the decisions. But now the act of sacrifice, the act of getting together with the family to like, hey, here's how we're going to do it, and what do you have any ideas? And they're all pitching in mm-hmm. to make the space work, to make this current situation work, so that at some point they're going to have everything taken care of, and they can buy a house, and they can you know, get everything done, and that's it's been fun to watch because it's not a suffering
right
thing at all. The sacrifice is actually joyous for them. It's brought them more together. You know, they have to share more and work things out more versus if they just had a bunch of money
mm-hmm.
and just buy stuff, it wouldn't have meant anything.
And that's the process is
yeah.
they literally just set a goal. Now they're measurable steps to achieve the goal, and they'll know when they hit the finish line because yeah. you'll be walking her down the aisle, I'm assuming, and you'll know when they finished.
Oh, the marriage is happening long before they achieve.
Okay.
Okay. But the sacrifice is already happening in order to make, you know.
Make it work.
To make the dreams of that, what they want, come out. You know, it's a complete start over.
So they don't have to go spend a lot on credit to make the rest of the family feel taken care of.
No.
Okay.
If they feel like they do, they're not. They're doing the right things and getting everybody to cooperate and work with them. And believe me, when you got kids in the house, the wants don't end. I mean, the wants are huge. So to get them to agree to sacrifice is cool.
Yeah, that line between need and want is blurred and very wide.
All of my wants are needs.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so really, as we kind of hit that and finish it, when we're looking at Christmas presents, just be reasonable and realize that the relationship is what most of us want. And as we're ready to swipe the credit card, think about the gifts that meant the most over time to us when we were adolescents and we were young. And even now, I mean, you know, as you're adult and you have adult relationships with whether it's friends or family, you know, the meaningful things that are best in class, they don't have to be the most expensive, generally could be the most important. Like, are you a sports fanatic?
I used to be more so, but okay. I like sports.
What was your favorite team?
Football. Oh, it was Chargers.
Okay, so if somebody got you a couple of really nice things that had the Charger logo on it, would you appreciate that?
Sure.
So if we got you some things that had, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys on it, would you appreciate that?
Well, yeah, I'd appreciate that I get to burn it.
But that's what I'm saying. So the person who knows you, who goes out of their way to do something that is meaningful to you in a way, you don't care about the dollar sign associated with it. It just means that they knew you and they got you something you would appreciate.
Well, and what do you get a guy that's a multimillionaire? Well, you're not going to buy.
Yeah, you're clearly not going to impress him with money.
No.
So you get something that is meaningful, something that might mean something to his family or might mean that you paid attention to something that
correct.
He said.
Correct.
And that's the thing that, again, going back to the Chargers, if somebody got you something for the Chargers, it meant that at some point in time, they either listened to the show or they knew you yeah. or whatever. If they got you, hey, I'm just going to go get Russ, I don't know, I'm going to go get him a golf shirt and, you know, some golf tees and really nice golf balls. Do you golf?
Not anymore. Okay. I always sucked at it anyway.
So you never played well, so whether I got yeah. you really expensive golf balls and a really nice golf shirt.
We wouldn't have improved my game.
Yeah, no. Would have just meant you lost more money in golf balls faster than not.
Yeah.
But that's the fun stuff is just to say, okay, wait a minute, stop. Let's think of what can I do. And so, you know, my plan this year is we're going to do way more meaningful cards and communication
sure.
and gifts that are specific to that person in a meaningful way, but it doesn't have to break.
Tough to do. It's not always easy.
No, that's actually, I think that's why most people do the credit card shopping. It's very easy to walk in, see something shiny, packaged well, swipe the card and leave and feel like, hey, I got them something. And how many people have a list that go, okay, I got to get Aunt Earl this, I got to get this, this, sure. this, this. And okay, I got everybody checked off.
All the smart people have that.
But a lot of people do it like a shopping list, like I got to get this person something, something, yeah. something. It's not sure. what it is. And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, I spent a lot of money, but none of it was really meaningful.
I'm pro list, though.
You're pro list.
I'm pro list. But I mean, I think you're right on them making it.
But now you're talking about, see, I know you. Your list would be name, and the second column would be what it is. You wouldn't just have a list with a checkbox that says yes or no.
Well, you're right in that, you know, the list is the list is not what but who. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you definitely want to make it a worthwhile, not just check it off and say, got them anything.
Right.
Got them something.
But that's what a lot of people do is they go into the store and go, I need yeah. this, 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 and I get a bunch of stuff and I spent a lot of money.
I don't have that many people I like enough anymore to buy them a present. So.
For everybody who can't see his phone, which is all of you, he has a list there and it's blank. So clearly,
the humbug.
Nobody's getting nothing from Russ Clark. But I really hope that as we think best in class, let's buy things that are meaningful. And let's make it an experience, and let's not go into more than the $1.03 trillion. And people don't even understand how big a trillion dollars in.
No.
$1.03 trillion.
Yeah.
Think of if the average interest rate, do you know, not the highest, what the average interest rate on American credit cards is if you aggregated them all?
Yeah.
What's the interest rate?
25%.
Yeah, you're close. Good job. 24.5%.
Yeah.
So if you figured round it to 25, a quarter of that total is being paid in interest every year because you know those balances are not coming down in 1 year. You think of that. That means credit card companies through their investors and businesses, $1.03 trillion, that's $250 billion, with a B, billion dollars
in interest.
Yeah. A year.
Yeah.
That's no more sustainable than the national debt that we have. That literally is money that people chose to spend. And look, some people have to have it for living. I get it. And you run into hard times. You put something on credit card. You needed food, whatever. Yes, there's some spending that has to be done, and hopefully there's a plan to get out of it. But we don't need to compound that problem by, hey, I'm going to go buy, you know, two new gaming systems, one for upstairs and one for downstairs. And, you know, you see people, I've got three kids. I'm going to get all three kids TVs for their bedrooms.
A lot of people do. And their heart's in the right place and all that stuff.
Sure.
It is.
And that's the hard part is I'm not second guessing the spending. And I don't want to say, hey, you're right, I'm wrong, or you're wrong, I'm right. Look, it's how we want to do it. But knowing that we've already crossed the $1 trillion in credit card debt, I know you see people come into your shop that have to put their repairs on credit card.
Of course.
Okay. That is that a need or a want?
Well, a lot of people, I put all my stuff on credit cards. I just pay it off every month. I mean, it doesn't mean they're borrowing, but there's a potential.
Okay,
there.
Well, you're rich and most of us are not.
I'm not. I'm just careful. I live, you know.
But think of the person who has to, who doesn't have the money in the account. If they're fixing their car, is that generally a want? Like, hey, I really want to.
That's a need.
It's a need.
Yeah,
so,
it's, yeah.
Okay, great. You got to put that on credit card and then pay that off. But you walk into Best Buy, just not to pick on them, could be Sam's Club, could be Walmart, whomever, it doesn't matter. But do you need the 85-inch big screen TV?
Yes. No,
because,
you don't probably.
You know, because
you probably don't.
I'll sell you on that. They've come down so much in price. I mean, I just saw a sale the other day, it was 85-inch big screen TVs for like $1,900 for a good quality.
It doesn't fit in my motorhome.
But you... It's on sale, Russ.
I don't care.
Just think, you could put that at your daughter's house, and you guys could watch the Charger game.
I don't care. You know, I usually buy what I need when I need it. I'm not much of an impulse guy.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know. You know, ladies and gentlemen, do you know how long
I drive
Russ
an electric bike.
I say that's exactly what I was going to point to. Do you know how long I heard you talk about getting an electric bike before you did it?
Maybe 5 years.
It was analysis paralysis. I mean, this guy had lists of pros and cons whether he would do it. I know you're not an impulse buyer.
And that bike is the sixth generation of the Rad Rover.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a Rad Rover on the first generation.
Well,
but by the sixth generation, they got a lot better.
They got a lot better.
And I said, okay, I'm pulling the trigger.
So for Christmas on your Rad Rover, you need one of the Red Ryder BB guns, and you need to be the Christmas
story. Well, that
would be nice.
I'm trying to think there's not another accessory I can buy because they've all been bought.
Now, but let me ask a question.
Yeah.
How much did you spend on that, if I can ask?
$1,600.
$1,600. Now, tell me all the options and upgrades, because you've got the Wizard of Oz basket up front for Lexi,
your dog.
I spent
$1,300 in add-ons.
Okay, so now, so you lied. You didn't spend $1,600. Now you're at $2,900.
Yeah.
Okay, what else have you spent?
Any
maintenance, anything?
Oh, I do that all in-house. We do all that.
Okay.
But I did build a trailer for it. I mean, a trailer to haul them.
Okay, so now how much was the trailer?
Well, we built it out of scrap parts, and the boys did it, you know, and it's beautiful. They did a nice job, but we still probably got $1,000 in it.
In the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're...
And then I bought another bike, so I had a friend to ride with.
Okay, so...
And that was another $1,600.
So now you're telling me that you've got $2,900
plus... About $5,000.
You've got $5,000 in on this.
Yeah.
Do you get your money's worth out
of
it?
Yeah, every day.
How many miles a day do you ride?
I don't know, but the thing's got over 1,400 miles on it now. For a bicycle, that's a lot.
You chose to spend money, and it offset you spending money on fuel.
Yes.
Offset spending money on vehicle maintenance at some point.
Yes.
And it gave you some exercise, even though you put it at 100% assist, so you actually don't pedal.
Yes.
Okay.
I sold my car. And it paid off my loan and gave me $5,000 cash.
That's why you spent the extra $1,600 on the other bike.
I spent $5,000 on my bicycles and trailer and everything combined.
Okay. So how do you pull them around if you sold your car?
I have company cars.
Okay. So you
know,
do that.
Which I drive. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is, it would you go spend the same $5,000 on bikes for your granddaughter and your grandson?
Yeah.
Right now, today?
Oh, today, no. They don't need that. They don't need that kind of stuff.
Okay. Now, how old is Grayskull?
17 months.
Okay. So, if you got him a bicycle style anything right now, what would it be? A little big wheel?
Well, it'd be a balance bike.
Right.
You know, with the wheels. No, nothing.
Big wheel, a trike, something like that. Maybe a power wheel. You get in one of those.
$60 investment, maybe.
Because in a year or two, he's going to outgrow it, and it's going to be worthless.
And he won't even remember I gave it to him, so why do it?
And then a year or two after that, he's going to need a very small bike, you know, 10-inch bike with training wheels.
Yeah.
And a year or two after that, he's going to outgrow it and forget it. And then you're going to get him a 14- or 16-inch wheel BMX-style bicycle. And a few years after that, he's going to outgrow it unless he goes hard into BMX. And so on and so forth. How many bicycles do you think the average kid would have over their lifetime?
10, 15.
10 or 15. So would you get any of your grandkids a $5,000 bike if they're going to outgrow it and not really appreciate it until they're what? In their 20s? College kids?
Yeah.
30s?
No. I mean, I got an expensive bike for my granddaughter.
How old is she?
6.
How expensive is expensive?
$500.
Okay.
But it's one that will be around for a decade or better. I mean, it's not a throwaway.
Okay.
I can repair it. I can take care of it. And Grayskull will be driving that thing.
And you know what you call that?
What?
Best in class.
Okay.
You just said it's going to be around for a long time, and you're going to take care of it. And you didn't go buy her a $5,000 e-bike. You didn't buy her that. But you bought her best in class that she can use and remember for a longer period of time. That's a meaningful gift that you just said. There's also a plan that, you know, even though it's a hot pink and purple, that
no, it's definitely not.
Okay,
but it's an off road. It's got wider tires and all that, and she's just barely big enough for it, and she'll be able to ride it for the next 5 or 6 years, and then Grayskull will be in it.
So purposeful plan behind it, she'll enjoy it. And you look at all of these things, that's best in class. That's exactly the example that we all want going for Christmas. So did you save up enough money for that for her birthday?
No. I had the money, but I just bought it because I like her. It had nothing to do with the present.
Wait, you mean it wasn't on a specific day to be done and very commercialized?
No,
you know,
I don't do that.
So it was a meaningful gift?
Generally, that's what I do.
Okay.
When it comes to her birthdays, I just attend the parties.
And
I don't really buy anything.
Shove her face right in the cake. And
I've done that.
Sugar high and the whole nine yards. And again, I hope that it's not a... I hope none of this sounds preachy, but you just look at how we have become consumers of debt. Mm-hmm. Look at, you know, you go back to the Scrooge, you know, whether it's the old school version from Dr. Seuss, whether it's Jim Carrey's movie, you know, you just think of the commercialization that we have around Christmas or any holiday, and you think, wait a minute.
It's inspected, it's expected, it's yeah. entitlement, it's all those things. And these kids, they get so much. It's so overwhelming. I don't add to it.
Well, and now let's talk about, do you have your phone open right now?
Yeah.
So you have instant access to everything in the world, and a lot of people sit there and compare what they have and don't have based on social media or news or advertising and the like, and you start to go, oh my gosh, I don't have the car like that guy does. Oh my gosh, look at this advertising. Oh my gosh, I see, you know, Russ Clark just posted a picture on social media of this amazing electric bike and he's having a good time. Look, he's smiling. If I had that bike, I could smile like that. But that's not generally what it is. But we are so comparative to other people on social media. Look, is social media real?
It exists. It's real. But are the stories and the people real? No. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, only the good stuff, only exaggerations.
Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me nobody posts the bad stuff on there?
Well, they do if they want to be a victim. And there's a lot of that, too.
There is that, too.
But generally they're posting a wonderful time. At least the people I follow. I mean, there's people out there that are going to be victims constantly, and they're going to post that.
And I know some people that I've had customers that, you know, look at these amazing pictures of our amazing vacation, and I run their credit and look at these amazing balances on credit cards and things like that. So, there's some amazing things that we can talk about, but you're going to run some amazing commercials here. So we'll be back after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. We've been talking about not spending money on credit cards and doing things that are more meaningful and just not getting into credit card debt for the holidays, right?
Before you move on, I got to respect Ken Rosevere a little bit here. Mm-hmm. He sent me a question a while ago and I didn't ask you. Wants me to ask you how Bidenomics is working.
Well, you know, when you say, how's it working?
It's not much of a departure from where we are. But
I don't know that that's a quantifiable from my seat on the bus, but what I do see is that everybody's debt is becoming more expensive and goods and services are more expensive. So from my seat on the bus, I see everybody having a much more difficult time, Ken. I really do.
Let me ask you this. If you had an economic plan like this one, would you be proud enough of it to call it after your name?
Well,
put your name on it? I can't believe he puts his name on it.
I would, and this is from, again, my seat on the bus, but if that was my plan from my vantage point,
yeah,
and if I was in college turning that in as an economic plan, I would expect not to have a passing grade. I would expect one of my old Professor Godleys to pull me aside and say, son, we need to have a conversation of accounting methodologies here.
But Biden's trying so hard not to make a good plan, but to try to get, like Reaganomics. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a Bidenomics. He's just working hard at it. He says it himself, and I'm like, oh, my God, how can you claim that?
I don't know. So, Ken, from my seat on the bus, I don't see it being beneficial to most of the humans that you and I know. And when you go down the road of, housing prices in terms of debt structure are significantly more expensive, gas prices are more expensive, food is up, I think there's some issues. Now, I want to transition, though, here a little bit. Do you know what is happening on October 27th and 28th here in Yuma?
No.
The Navy League and the City of Yuma are sponsoring the Tunnel to Tower, the 9/11 moving exhibit into town. So the Tunnel to Tower, the nonprofit organization that helps disabled veterans.
Yeah.
The semi-truck museum is coming to town October 27th and 28th, and it's the 9/11 memorial. The exhibit hours are Friday from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. I can tell you the things that I do know is there's a block party that weekend. There's things to do. But, again, for those of us who are old enough to remember, where were you on 9/11?
I was in my business in California.
So you can remember exactly where you were, exactly what was happening on 9/11.
Absolutely.
And there's a generation before you and I, because you're not that old, that remembers exactly where they were when Vietnam started, or exactly where they were when, an older generation, Pearl Harbor happened.
Pearl Harbor is what I'm thinking of, and the day that will live in infamy, right?
Yeah, and you think, to you and I, who were not around when Pearl Harbor happened, it's something you read in the history books and you've seen some of the video.
Sure.
But here, look, 9/11 happened a long time ago. And for you and I, it's still, I can picture everything. I think that's a great exhibit. I'm not happy. I'm not looking forward to seeing it, that kind of excitement. I'm looking forward with anticipation to see the museum and to go see in more detail and experience that. So kudos to the Navy League and the City of Yuma for bringing the Tunnels to Tower 9/11 Museum, the Rolling Semi-Truck Museum, in. And I think that Friday afternoon we'll probably shut the office down for a couple of hours and take the whole staff over. And, there's some people young enough in my office that I don't think they remember it on TV because they were too young when that happened.
Speaking of things that are happening, do you know what's happening tomorrow morning between 9 and 9:30?
I'm having a cup of coffee.
No, eclipse of the sun.
Oh, it's that early? I thought it was later in the day. I thought it was like 11 o'clock. No?
No.
No. Okay. So it's the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
I did know that, but I thought it was.
We only get a 75% here in Yuma. If you want to get 100%. Eclipse, you'd have to be up in Four Corners area.
Okay, so it's not a ring of fire for us. It's a ring of smoldering. Is that kind of how that
works?
It's
a partial ring of fire, but it's going to be tomorrow. I've got like little glasses for the kids and all that kind of stuff. And
so you're going to start playing the Johnny Cash song loudly and longly.
I'm going to sing it.
Burn, burn, burn. So again, things to do, and this is truly such an amazing world, such an amazing community too, but there's things to do, and there's things that don't cost any money. You're going to sit out there with your grandkids and watch a ring of fire, in front of the dragon. Did you do anything when Halley's Comet came in?
No,
Do you even remember Haley's Comet passing through?
Well, we tried. We were in Tampa at the time.
Why were you in Tampa?
That's where we lived. Well, but it was cloudy.
Okay.
And we went to the observatory to see it, but...
But it was cloudy.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything.
You know, we watched it here. We went out in the desert. Super cool.
So you didn't have clouds.
Yeah, we don't have those much down here. Yeah. Actually, when I was at that corporate meeting, we were supposed to go up to a nice steakhouse at the top of the mountain for dinner. And halfway up the mountain in the van ride, it's starting to snow. And they said, oh, we have to turn around because the van is two-wheel drive and it has summer tires on it. Well, who's the dum-dum that decided we'd take a van with summer tires on it when there's a snow forecast?
I don't know you.
No, I was not the purveyor of the van, let me just say.
Okay.
But you think, okay, here's an experience. But I'll tell you, watching the fall colors change and seeing the amount of yellows and reds and oranges that we don't get here, okay, there's an experience. Here, we get to see lots of astronomical events, you know, whether it's the meteor showers, the solar eclipses, whether it was formerly Halley's Comet.
There was a full moon, what, a harvest moon or something?
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed a friend, drove out into the desert and watched it where there was no lights, you know.
Did you get pictures?
No, why would I?
Because you just said you were looking for a $5,000 camera.
I said, I wanted one. I didn't say I bought it. But
well,
yeah.
If you want a $5,000 one, I'm assuming you have a less expensive one and you want a better one.
I do.
And you didn't take pictures.
No, I take pictures of people, not moons.
creeping kind of pictures?
No, grandkids.
Okay,
stuff.
just want to make sure. So, you know, going back to the last weekend in October, Tunnel to Towers, the 9/11 museum coming in, would love to see the community out there and educate a lot of our youth, what happened and some of the things that we've experienced as a nation. You know, and again, there's a group of men and women, both military and first responders, that we can't do what we do in this country without. And, you know, the 9/11 Museum, that was first responders. That's police, that's fire, that's paramedic, that's, you know, people who put their lives on the line just as much as the military men and women do, that they lost their lives. Have you been to the World Trade Center? Have you been to downtown?
Yeah.
Were you there when they were reconstructing anything?
I was there when it was still a hole in the ground.
Okay. Describe that.
Yeah, just like looking at the Grand Canyon. No, it was sad. It was like somber. It was like unbelievable, you know, and you could see down into the subway, you know, because the subway was down there too. But no, it was shocking to see the devastation and all that happened. But it brought it to life, you know, about what happened and what really went on.
What really went on, and you look at some of the I want to call them artifacts, but the things that have come out that have made their way around the country,
all over. I think every state has them. Mm-hmm. We have some. I don't know if there's one in Yuma, but there's one in Gila Bend.
There is one in Gila Bend. I don't know if there's one in Yuma, but you look at, you know, these are things that what I am fearful, at least with my kids, is you guys aren't going to understand what happened any more so than I really understand Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, which I've been there too, the memorial. It's
amazing.
I've
been to the USS Arizona. I've been, you know, right over the top of it and at that museum. And you think, to me, that's a museum and something that happened in the history books. I didn't experience the fear and the tension that happened on that day. You and I experienced the fear and the tension and the uncertainty that happened on 9/11. Our kids aren't, but at least take them out to the museum.
No airplanes in the sky, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's weird.
Yeah. And
you got like 30 seconds.
Well, again, from Academy Mortgage, from KBLU, from all of us that have the ability to be on air, thank you to the military and the first responders. Get out and see the Tunnel to Tower moving 9/11 Museum. That is the last weekend in October. From all of us, stay safe and have an amazing weekend, everyone. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.